and Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Welcome back, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 843 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know, I've got another great show lined up for us. In today's episode, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out and we'll talk more about those free seeds later on in the show. Before we get too far in today's episode, I do want to remind you that the 4th of July is approaching. As the 4th of July approaches in my neighborhood, we play a fun game known as gunshots or fireworks. So if you hear weird noises in the background, place your bets. It could be gunshots, could be fireworks. Now I want to take a moment to thank everybody for the support on the Irie Direct Inventory Blowout Sale. That's right, on the last half of last month, I put all of the seeds on sale on Irie Direct, and you guys helped me clean out that inventory so I did not have to count so many packs for the inventory. It made it a lot easier to do the work. At this time, as you're watching this podcast, there is a full restock on iriedirect.com. That's right, early this morning, I put up a whole bunch of stuff. There is the brand new tinfoil hat. There is some Congo Ripper. Allegedly, there may be a restock of some of the old Ninja Turtles lines. That's right. What? There is Raphael back in stock. There is Donatello back in stock. See what else is in stock at iriedirect.com. Go take a look right now. A lot of things will sell out very quickly, so don't miss the restock at iriedirect.com. Also, there are new freebies. If you're tired of those same old freebies, I did update the freebies list. While supplies last, there will be new freebies at iriedirect.com. Freebies? What do you mean freebies? Some people may not know what I'm talking about when it comes to freebies at iriedirect. That's right. When you shop at iriedirect.com, if you spend over $30, you will get a free two-pack of feminized seeds. If you spend over $100, you get another two-pack of fem seeds. It goes on at $200, $300, and $400. Those freebies do stack. So if you spend $100, you get the $30 level and the $100. If you spend $200, you will get the $30, the $100, and the $200, and so forth. If you're going to spend more than $500 on the website and you want more freebies, please do reach out. I will set you up with a good freebie package deal. All right. Make sure you do check iriedirect.com because that restock is live now. This episode does come out on June 29th. Make sure you go check iriedirect. If you missed the restock, make sure you join my newsletter. That's right. On my website, iriegenetics.com, if you scroll down to the bottom, there is a spot where you can put in your email address. It says stay up to date. If you put in your email address, it will add you to the newsletter. When I do these restocks, I do send out a newsletter to let everybody know the restock happened, and Patreon does get the first heads up, so make sure you join Patreon at patreon.com/growfromyourheart. I think that covers all of the news. Now let's jump into everybody's favorite new part of this podcast. This is the pet peeve portion of today's show. All right, I'm sure most of you out there know what a pet peeve is. A pet peeve is something that just drives you crazy, that just grinds your gears. Oftentimes, when I am in a grow room situation or looking at a grow space online, I will see major pet peeves, something that just drives me crazy. I do encourage you to send me your grow room pet peeves. You can email them to me at growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. If I do read your grow room pet peeve here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iriedirect.com. Today's pet peeve came from our friend who wants to be called Sweet. What's up, my dude, Sweet? It is great to meet you. The pet peeve goes a little bit like this. It says, my pet peeve, my brother, taste trends. Fruity is the trend, gas is the trend, and sour is all the trend. And then he says, all I want is great flower and great genetics. I hate all of these flavor trends. I understand what you're talking about. However, I may disagree. We will delve more into that as this message unfolds. It says, I hate the trends. I don't give a fruit. No, he says a different word, but I'm going to say fruit because we're early in the episode. We don't want to get censored. It says, I don't give a fruit if it's fruity, piney, pissy, gassy, spicy, or woody, as long as it's killer product. I want specific buzzes. That's what I hunt for. Now, that's where we're going to kind of delve into this in a minute. If the buzz I'm looking for comes in pine, well, then it's going to be pine. I love the great flavors like the rest, but if I can find no ceiling, shoot you to the moon weed, I don't give a crap if it's trendy strain, if it's a trendy strain or not. Back in the day, you didn't know what you were going to get, and that was another part of the excitement. Yes, that was I remember those days when you didn't know what you were going to get. You just went to the dude's house, you got what the dude had, he paid him money, you were excited just to have something to smoke. But this is a whole new era of cannabis. A lot of this is medical cannabis. People are smoking and consuming cannabis for medical needs, and they need specific things. So a lot of that does matter. We're going to talk about that as this, like I said, as this does unfold. And I do agree, just getting what you used to get was part of the excitement. But now part of the excitement for me is going to, sometimes it's my friend's house. Sometimes it's the DGC Cup. I don't really buy flowers from dispensaries, but I will stop in for concentrates because I can't make the concentrates that I buy. I can't keep up with Green Dot, to be quite honest with you. But that variety that's on the shelf at the dispensary, that Green Dot, when I go see all those different jars and I've got that variety and I know they're all very good and very consumable, that puts a smile on my face. When I go to the DGC Cup and I see that Hot Rod's got his flower on the table, Hobbit's got his flower on the table, Terps has his flower on the table, Soda's got his amazing Lemon Jeffrey on the table, and I can look at all of those. All that variety puts a smile on my face. I love it. We're in a whole new era of cannabis. I don't have to just take what the dude's got. If it tastes like cat piss and I'm not into cat piss, I can smoke the other one that tastes like strawberries, which we're going to talk more about all this. Let me finish your message. It says, enough of my rant, Brother Jeff. Oh, no, don't worry, bro, because I'm going to rant on my own. I appreciate your rant. In fact, you've won a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iReadDirect.com. So make sure you do check your email, check your spam, because there's a gift in there for you. It says, I want to leave you with this. Thank you for all your hard work, my friend. Because of that hard work, I get to benefit with some killer smoke, and that is what I crave. Thanks, bro, from your friend, Sweet. Bro, thank you. I'm glad that my hard work is leading to your hard work, and our hard work is paying off, so you've got some killer smoke, which is what we crave. Brondo, bro, it's what plants crave. Now, there are a lot of things to unpack in here, as I've mentioned a couple of times in this. You start by saying you want specific buzzes, and that's what you hunt for. You don't care if it comes in pine, and then you didn't list other flavors, but I understand what you're saying. But what I have found through my research, through my experience, I think through reading and through science as well, they could probably back me up. A lot of those buzzes come along with a very specific flavor. Those are the terpenes that are providing the flavor and also contributing to your buzz. So here is the analogy that I'm going to use to explain this. Keep in mind, I have no degree. I do not have any education on this. This is what I have figured out through reading, through studying, through my own experience. This is what I have come up with. The THC, or the chosen cannabinoid in the product which you are smoking, is what makes you go high. Let's compare that to a firework. Let's just say if you pack this firework with THC, the more THC you put in there, the higher into the sky that firework is going to go, right? That is your rocket fuel, your gunpowder, we'll say. You're going to stuff that into this firework. We're going to light it. It's going to take off. If you got 50% THC, we're getting 50% up there. If you got 89% THC, we're going 89% way up in the sky. That's the THC. Now, I really think strongly the terpenes are, and there are other components to this that do can play into this equation here, but we're going to start with the terpenes. There are esters, palates, flavonoids, other things in this same category, but we're going to focus on terps just to keep it specific. The terpenes, when this firework goes up in the sky, that's you getting high, but the terpenes, in my experience, in my opinion, in my theory, those are what give you the color to the firework. Those are the different colors in that firework. What do we pack in there? And those are different chemicals and fireworks that do it, but they're going to be different terps in cannabis. Those terpenes are what affect my high in different ways. I'm going to get high from the THC, but now am I going to get paranoid? Am I going to get the giggles? Am I going to get the munchies? Am I going to get confused? Am I going to get tunnel vision? Am I going to get horny? Am I going to get a headache? Is my headache going to go away? Is my blood pressure going to raise, or is my blood pressure going to drop? There are several different things I can get from different cannabis plants. I think most of that is from the terpenes. A lot of it is from the terps. So you said, I don't care about specific flavors, but I bet if you started paying attention from this point forward, you'll notice that certain flavors and aromas give you different buzzes. So when you say that I don't give up, I understand you don't care what the trend is, but it does really matter what the flavors and aromas are. I did an episode long, long ago that is called Follow Your Nose. It may be before I was even doing video podcasts, but it was called Follow Your Nose because I believe that your nose knows. When you go, wherever you're going to buy your cannabis, if it's to your own plethora of jars or to a dispensary or to your buddy, if you go to that dispensary and you open 10 jars, five of them you're going to go, nah, not it. Not it. If you're an experienced, if you're not just excited about it, they do all smell good. But out of those 10 jars, maybe there's two of them that really jump out to you. And maybe there's something to do with the way those terpenes are talking to your body. Now, this is another analogy I'll compare all of this to. This is why poop is brown and stinks, and why oranges are bright orange and taste good and are good for you. The poop stinks because we're not supposed to eat it. That's nature's little hint of saying, hey, bro, don't eat that. Like, don't do it, bro. Unless you're a gross dog or something, most people aren't going to want to eat a poop unless there's something deeply wrong with you. On the other hand, oranges are bright orange. They get your eye. You look, if you're in nature and you're walking around, you see an orange, you go, oh, that looks good. Just something inside of your brain can taste it. You start getting the juicy flavor in your mouth. You want to climb over there and get that orange and eat it. And the orange tastes good and looks appealing visually for a reason. Nature gave us those signals on purpose. I really think that the terpenes in our flowers, in our ganja, in our cannabis, in our concentrates, they're that way for a reason. It draws us. Maybe you don't even know there was a reason why you needed that Lemon Jeffrey today. Maybe that's the one you smoked and it fixed so many things you weren't even aware of internally or biologically that you weren't even thinking about. Or maybe it just put you in the mood that you needed to be in because it's the terpene for you. Maybe it works perfectly for you. So I do bet that if you did some study and some paying attention, you would notice that certain buzzes come from certain terps. I notice most of the time, lemony stuff puts a good smile on my face. Lemon Jeffrey, Lemon Diesel, Lemon Skunk. It's all got a good smiley, uplifting, like, hey, what's up, bro? Kind of a buzz. All of the GMO, Han Solo Burger, that stuff. The, what's it called? The Garlic Banger from Green Dot. That puts me, like, heavy. That's like narcotic. It makes me want to chill. It just pushes me down. All of that stuff has a garlicky, nasty, trash can, fermented sort of a terp to it. Sort of a heavier, the opposite end of the lemons, and they have opposite, completely opposite buzzes. So I can notice that in the buzz when I smoke those different products. Let me pay more attention to my notes because I've got a lot of notes here. I was actually on a podcast with other breeders. Shout out to my friends at the Dude Grows Show. I was on the Dude Grows Show. I was on a breeders panel, and we had several breeders talking about what we like and what the market likes. And to be honest with you, flavors and aroma were always in breeders' top three. Any breeder, we went through the panel and we're like, what matters most to you? And flavor and aroma in the smokable product is definitely in the top three for every breeder on the panel. That made a big difference. What else do I have? Oh, I wrote down that these trends, this is where I do agree with this pet peeve here. I completely agree with this part. It drives me crazy. This is one of my old man pet peeves. I'll jump in with you now. I'll get on your lawn with you. This one, when people say, I got that gas. If you tell me you got gas, right, and I show up and your weed smells like blueberries, I don't want it. I wanted gas. If you say, I got that gas, that's because your weed smells like gas. That's why you call it gas. That's why people have just taken the word gas and applied it to any weed now, and that ain't real. That's false advertising. That's like walking around with Whoppers in your pocket and talking about you got Big Macs. No, you don't. You got some good cheeseburgers, but you definitely don't have Big Macs, my dude. That wasn't your way right away. All right, so that's my part of this pet peeve. If you call it gas, that shit better be gassy. If you say, I got the fruit and it smells fruity, I'm happy with that. But if you call it gas and it smells like fucking blueberries or cookies or... That's not gas, my dude. Stop doing that, you guys. All right, let me regroup, make sure I answered your question. The terps will predict the buzz. I think you'll find that. I do agree that the trends are silly, but I bet you that if you pay attention, some of those trends will lead you in a direction. The nose always knows. Follow your nose because I think your nose knows what terps your body needs. All terps matter. And if you're going to call it the gas, show up with that gas. All right, my dude, that is the pet peeve section of today's podcast. Make sure once again that you do check your inbox, check that spam, because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Now, since this episode does come out right before the start of the month, it does give me a good opportunity to make a public service announcement. If you do receive a coupon code, a gift code for free seeds on iredirect.com from the show, those do come with expiration dates. Those expiration dates are clearly printed on the email that you do receive. Those expiration dates are real. It will expire on that day. So I do encourage you to redeem those gift certificates, those coupon codes as quickly as possible. I do have to have an expiration date on those coupon codes because I can't just have free seeds floating out there forever, just have money on the books forever. It is a business. I do have to close those tabs at some point just for logistics and bookkeeping and business reasons. So help me help you. When you do get those coupon codes, please redeem those as quickly as possible, because if they expire, I cannot help you out. I cannot reactivate that coupon code. I try to give you guys about 30 days since it's here at the start of the month. Everybody getting these, your coupon code will expire at the end of July if you're getting them in this episode. So it gives you about a month, but I do encourage you to please use them. Don't let them expire and use them as quickly as possible. All right, now that I got that public service announcement over, let's work our way into the question and answer portion of today's podcast. Of course, I do have a website. That website is iregenetics.com. On the top of that website, there is a row of tabs. One of those tabs does say Grow Help or Grow Questions. If you click on that tab, you can send me a grow question. If I read your grow question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. The first question on today's episode came from our new friend Stefan, and it goes just like this. It says, Dear Rasta Jeff, I hope you're doing well, and thanks for sharing your knowledge. Bro, I'm doing great. I hope you are great wherever you are whenever you hear this. And you are very welcome for sharing the knowledge. I enjoy this question, so let's jump into it. It says, I've got some general questions regarding land races when it comes to breeding. This is a great question. I'm going to enjoy this, but before I answer it, let me give a little bit of a disclaimer. I am not much of a land race grower or breeder. The land race growers and breeders are kind of a special niche group when it comes to the cannabis world. There are growers, there are smokers, there are growers, there are breeders, and then somewhere in that little in-between area, I'm not saying they're less or anything. They're just their own little, they've got their own little sect, their own little niche. They are the land race growers and breeders. Also, off to the side, same little category, different category, same kind of sect, is the autoflower group. So just smaller branches of a big group, just smaller branches that have branched off. They're still part of our team, but they're doing a very specific thing. I am not in that land race group. I'm also not in the autoflower group, but I can talk enough about it to sound like I know what I'm talking about, and I can definitely answer your questions. Now, let's start this off by talking about what a land race is. Many people out there may not understand what land race genetics are. This question may not make much sense to a lot of people. So let's lay the ground and talk about what land race genetics means. What is a land race? In my experience, in my research, a land race is basically a strain that is developed naturally, regionally, and not interrupted by humans. So let me give an example of that. Let's just say there's a mountain somewhere in Nepal that nobody has visited for a very long time, hundreds of years probably. Nobody's been to this mountainside in Nepal, but the people in Nepal that live there, they have been breeding and growing the same cultivar for that hundred of years that nobody has been there. There's 100 years worth of breeding, but no other genetics have been introduced. 100 years ago, there was a crop, right? It all pollinated. They didn't pull the boys. They didn't pull the girls. Then they don't pull the seeds. Those seeds fall into the ground. So we'll say 100 years ago, that was an F1. We're just going to start there. Who knows how long ago it was. Somebody was walking on a trail at some point. They dropped 2 seeds. Those seeds happened. They grew. There's a boy and a girl. It made more. So that was the F1. Then there was F2. Then it did it again. Now there's F3. It's done it for 100 years uninterrupted, growing, pollinating itself, falling to the ground and starting over. Now, the people in these regions may be collecting these flowers, these buds, they may be making hash or doing something with it, but the breeding is being uninterrupted, unadulterated. Now, there are two things that could be happening here, and I think both of these would fall into a land race here. There's a lot of open pollination happening for sure. Males and females are grown amongst each other. All the males pollinate all the females, so you've got all kinds of different genetic opportunities in there. All of the genetics will be in that breeding. If you get enough seeds, you'll find everything possible within every mom and every female. That's happening naturally. The males pollinate the females. They grow. They drop the seeds. Those seeds grow. Keeps happening year after year after year. Now, my other school of thought is that some of these farmers may be selectively culling males and females from the crops that don't meet their standards. Maybe they can visually see that one doesn't put out the hash that I need or the fiber that I need, or that male doesn't make the females that I need. Maybe he can visually see that. So he may be removing candidates from the breeding pool. And for the land race genetics folks out there, I don't know how they feel about that. I don't know if that's within the rules. I don't know how that counts. Like I gave the disclaimer before, I'm not a land race breeding person. That is not my area of expertise. But those are the things that are most likely to happen in those those unpopulated regions, those beautiful regions on the planet that we haven't destroyed and built concrete all over everything and put the internet everywhere. There are mountainsides of just endless cannabis plants that are untouched by people, or maybe slightly touched by people, but they are not adulterated by other genetics. Those are land race genetics. That is the long description that I said was going to be short. Now, let me jump into the next part of this question. It says, how important are land race genetics for you in your breeding work? Now, the quick answer for that one is, for me, they are not. At the point where I am in my breeding, I've made enough things where I don't have to acquire any more plants or seeds. I'm not saying I don't want to, but I could stop any incoming plants and seeds, and I could breed for 100 years. I could breed for the rest of my life with the seed and breeding stock I've already created. So at this point, those land races don't excite me, don't interest me. I care about them. I definitely understand where they come from, what they are, how they are working in my current crosses, and where what I can see the traits from around the world, and we can identify different things from those land races and how they are playing with my current breeding. But right now, at this time, those plants don't interest me. They're not on my radar. Maybe if there were an apocalypse and we had to start over, or maybe if I had to start over, if I bred all my stuff into some bottleneck where it all started coming out to be lemon chem dog, or it was all fucking golden tangy or something, it all turned out, if I messed it all up, then maybe I would go to land race genetics and start fresh there. Get some Afghan and maybe some Brazilian and some Thai, and then just start fucking, I got three different things I can start triangulating. Within the next 5 or 10 years, I could have a lot of stuff generated to play with at that point. We could be doing a lot of fun pheno hunts. But to me, not very important, but to a very certain niche of people out there, those land races mean everything. And it sounds like this may be some direction you might want to go just by the question. Let me keep myself focused, because whatever I smoked, once again, it has got me going today. It was the Cherry Pot Pie Concentrates from our friends at Green Dot Labs. They do not pay me to say that. But if you want to, shout out to Green Dot Labs. You know how to get in touch with me. Where is we? Now it says, with people constantly traveling around and the ongoing search for shorter flowering periods in commercial growing, how likely is it to find real or even new land races anymore? The answer I wrote down is, you got to go where Aryan hasn't been. Aryan Roskam is the founder and breeder for Greenhouse Seed Company. And I've got respect for his breeding. I love what he's done with the industry, the world. He runs coffee shops in Amsterdam. The dude's got one of the most successful seed companies on the planet, probably more cannabis cups than most people that I can think of. The dude's got a lot of awards. But he does something that is, it gets my attention here, and it fits into this this conversation. Aryan and his crew fly around to those locations I was talking about, where cannabis has been unadulterated for hundreds of years. I'm guessing hundreds of years. I really don't know. Like I said, not the land race guy, but these land race plants have been growing unadulterated for years and years. Our buddy Aryan goes there, meets with the right people. They take him to these farms. He meets the farmers. They give him permission to go into the field, and he collects the seeds. They say, do what you want to do, bro. Taking a couple of handfuls of seeds from us isn't going to hurt. Have a good time out there in the field. Enjoy yourself. Take pictures. They're very gracious hosts. So Aryan and his friends, they go and they gather seeds, and then they take the seeds back to their greenhouse, back to Amsterdam, to their business greenhouse. They grow them. They find things. They breed with it. Cool. That's how breeding should work. That's not a problem. What they do that kind of puts some alarms up, puts up some red flags, and makes me concerned with what they're doing a little bit. While they are there, while they are on these sacred land, if you want to call it, on these little plots of cannabis, on unadulterated cannabis plots, they are leaving the farmers with seeds that they have made in Amsterdam that are popular and famous feminized seeds. I could tell because when they passed them the seeds, they were color-coded. Greenhouse Seed Company dips their seeds in a color code, so you could tell which seeds are which. If you lose the package, you can have a whole bag of Skittles, and you know that all the yellow ones are Super Lemon Haze, and I don't remember the color code, but they are color-coded. And so I saw Aryan give this guy handfuls of color-coded seeds, and now that guy's going to go perhaps, possibly, maybe grow those outdoors in that sacred, unadulterated landrace cannabis plot, and now they've been adulterated. Now there's new shit happening out there. There's new genes in the breeding pool. New shit has come to light, man. And I don't know how I feel about that. So traveling around and doing research, how likely is it to find real land races? You've got to go where Arjan hasn't been. You've got to go where the people don't go. Go where, find what region interests you. Like, there are several regions where these land races are. Research them. Of course, think about where all of our favorite cannabis comes. There's Brazilian, there's Thai, there's Afghani. There's Pakistani weed that's really fucking good. There's weed from all over the world, but think about what weed gets your attention, and fucking maybe it's Nepali weed. Maybe it's somewhere real fun. Maybe it's somewhere real sketchy, but think about where that weed comes from and go there and start meeting people and build relationships and let them know, hey, I'm a weed farmer. I'm a seed hunter. I'm looking for the seeds from this region so I can preserve them and start my own project and do something, for the plant, for the good of this plant. And people, farmers find each other. Ganja heads find each other. Mushroom people find each other. I think the land race folk, if this is what you're meant to do, the world will put this into your lap. It will happen for you. You're going to have to do some work, but go to those places. Go get those seeds. Or start doing some networking on the internet and trust people. Build relationships with someone you trust. Get some land race seeds from them. But they're still around. The land races are still around. There are plenty of places on the earth that are untouched. There are a lot of great places to go get these seeds. You just have to decide what you want and where to go get them and then develop a relationship and go there and acquire those seeds. Then you got to get them back to the States. Sometimes that's the fun part, but that's on you, my dude. I can't encourage you to do anything weird. All right, now the next part of the question says, if they are still around, how do professional breeders separate an original land race from the many hybrids and strain crosses out there? So if it's a land race, it doesn't have... so you know most strains, so it's like, we'll say, let me pick a strain out of the top of my head. I'm just searching for something right now. Lemon Jeffrey. Lemon Jeffrey says Lemon Skunk X, which means bred to or crossed or times, a lot of people say, Golden Goat. So you got your Lemon Jeffrey X Golden Goat in parentheses. That is, or your Lemon Skunk Golden Goat. That's Lemon Jeffrey. If it's a land race, it's just going to say Pakistani. That's all it is. It's not going to have other stuff. That's why it's a land race. It's that Pakistani land race or that Nepali land race or that Congolese land race. It could be from a lot of different places, but the land races, they're not going to be crossed to anything. And you could tell by the way that they grow wildly. A lot of the times they don't have the uniformity of any of the modern strains because they haven't been bred. They haven't been selected for that. Nature has been selecting them. It's the battle of the fittest for the last 100 years. What grew the best is what grew the best out there. So if it's a land race, you probably got it from another land race seed seller or enthusiast, or you went and got it, or it came from somebody from that region. How do professional breeders separate? It's just because it's not adulterated. It's from that region and you know where your seeds came from. And a lot of times you could tell when you grow it out. The modern bred stuff is bred for social media. It's bred for photography to sell seeds in magazines. That's what a lot of the shit on social media is. Some of my best strains are not the most photogenic. Some of my most photogenic strains are not the best. A lot of the stuff that you see online is bred. They're picking the best phenotype for the internet and taking a picture of it and selling seeds based on the colors of the leaves and the amount of frost on there. But you don't know if that plant's got any resistance to bugs or pathogens or the potency. And a lot of times it tastes like fucking cardboard. But at this point, I am rambling. Let me get back on track here to the next bullet point in this question. Anyway, if you want those real hybrids, you got to go get them or get them from a true land race enthusiast. Now, the next part, are F1 hybrids based on land races more vigorous than crosses that are derived from other crossed strains? I think I kind of mentioned this part. I don't know about more vigorous because you get that F1 hybrid vigor almost in most of the crosses that you make, even if it's modern stuff to old stuff or modern to modern, old to old. If you got healthy plants and you put those two new genes together, most often you're going to get some hybrid vigor. What you're going to see with these land races, the words I wrote down is more wild. They're much more wild since they're these are like untamed animals. These have never seen a cage. They've never had a leash. They're just fucking flailing. They're going crazy. Maybe the leaves are crazy. The branching is crazy. The structure is undesirable. But that's not, like I said, it happened in nature. You've got to find the good shit in there with the traits you like and breed that the direction you want. So are the hybrids based on land races more vigorous? I would not say more vigorous. I'm going to say more wild. You're going to get vigor. You're going to get hybrid vigor. But they're going to find some wild shit in there. All right. My buddy Stefan says, thanks for your input. Dude, thank you for a great question, for letting me ramble. Like I said, I'm not the land race guy, so I don't know all of the land race details, but I hope I was able to answer your question thoroughly. And don't forget to check your inbox for that coupon code for a free pack of seeds from iredirect.com. All right, let's keep this momentum going. I do have another great question here in front of me. Let's go with this one right now. This one came from a friend in Germany. Guten Tag, ein Freund, wie geht's? I hope everything is good over there in Germany. The question starts off with, Guten Tag, Rasta Jeff. First of all, I love your show and I learned a lot. Hey, thank you for listening in Germany. It's amazing to hear that I have got German listeners. That's amazing to know that we are international. It says, my question is about fast flowering plants. Yes, these fast flowering plants have been all the trend lately. It says, I have read that they are bred with autoflowers to lower the flowering time, and that low flowering time is what I need. I understand all of the new growers, one of the first things they're after is fast flowering plants. And I'm sure that a lot of people in Germany are looking for fast flowering plants. So I hope I'm able to answer your questions here. It says, I live in Germany and I like to grow outdoors, but autumn is cold and wet. Yes, I'm sure it does get cold and wet. It says, in addition here, I get 12-12 around the 1st of September. Yeah, well, our seasons are different, so I'm not sure where that lines up. It says, it's a gamble every year. What do you think about these fast flowering plants? Do you have any experience, or is it possible to create a strain that starts flowering at 14-10? Thanks in advance and keep on rolling. Maybe we're legal when you read this on YouTube. I think you are legal now with some stipulations and regulations. So let's start by saying congratulations to our friends out there in Germany for their progress with legalization. Now let's answer some of these questions here. The first one, have I played with the fast flowering plants? No, I have not myself played with fast flowering plants. I prefer longer flowering plants. I think they give me better quality and more yield, but I understand that situationally, that is not always ideal. So I do not mess with the fast flowering. Then the next part is, can we create strains that flower at 14-10? Honestly, I bet there are strains that flower at 14-10 already, but any home grower or home breeder that is growing indoors has eliminated those from their breeding project or their selection because it did not work for their indoor grow. It just wasn't doing what they wanted, so it probably got culled and eliminated. Most people are doing 12-12 indoors. Now, real quickly, I'm going to touch back on previous episodes and talk about something called far red lighting. You're asking about a plant that flowers at 14 hours of light and 10 hours of darkness is what I think you're talking about. So a lot of times you may look outside and you may think that you've got that 14 hours of light out there, but what actually happens is as that sun sets, it is putting off a red light spectrum known as far red lighting. That far red lighting triggers a phytochrome response in your plants that tells the plants it is time to go to sleep. So I'm certain that there are some plants out there that 14-hour day, when you see the 14 hours, that's probably 13 or 12 hours of actual usable sunlight because you've got the rising spectrum and the setting spectrum are a little bit different. I bet you there are plenty of plants out there that will flower with that 14 hours of daylight. That is actually called the critical period, how many hours of darkness it takes for a plant to flower. That is probably dependent on the location on the globe or in relation to the equator where that plant came from. So I would assume that there are plants out there that would flower with that 14-hour light cycle. And that leads me to another option. Have you considered autoflower plants? I understand you want fast flowering, but why not just give a try with autoflower plants? That may be another very viable option. I've got a good friend that grows outdoors here in Colorado. He does two, sometimes three crops with our outdoor season when most people get one outdoor crop. So what my buddy does, he puts a round of regular photo period plants outside. So he's got his photo period plants outside. Those are going to go into flower. He puts them outside as soon as the weather permits. I think that's Mother's Day here in Colorado. Also, he will put a round of autoflower plants out on Mother's Day. So he's got one plant of photos, one plant of autos. Now, both of these plants begin to grow, but eventually the autoflowers will go into flower and they will flower. And by the time they finish, now the photo period start going into flower. So he chops one down and then he reloads that plot with more autoflowers. And then by the time the other crop finishes, he's got two more crops done at the same time. So he runs one photo period crop outdoors and two autoflower crops outdoors. He gets three crops in the time that most people get one. And one big advantage to those autoflowers is they are done way before the thieves and the rippers and the frost get out there to destroy your plants. Because in Colorado, people know we're growing weed. They start looking out for it. They come steal it. About a week before harvest, people will come take it. If you ran autoflowers, you're done way before that time period even approaches. So the root of the question was about fast flowering plants. I don't have any experience with the autoflowers or the fast flowers, but I know there are very good uses for both. Maybe if you've got the opportunity, plant a row of both. Do some fast flowers, do a row of autoflower, and if you want to get frisky, maybe even put out a row of photo period plants out in the grow space. I love these questions from new markets. As new markets come on, there will be new questions, new demands. Something you may want to think about, you said you have got the cold and wet weather in autumn. Maybe, just maybe, you may want to do some breeding and develop a strain that works very well in your climate. If you're one of the first growers out there to get a head start and start breeding outdoor plants in your region that are already adapted to your environment and ready for your conditions, you will be far ahead of the market, and those seeds will sell very well to every outdoor farmer in your region. Every section and region that it works, you can sell those seeds. They probably work indoors as well. All right, my new friend from Germany, thank you for the great question. I hope I was able to give you some solid advice. You do win a coupon code for a free pack of seeds from iredirect.com. However, I'm not sure if we can ship those seeds safely to Germany. So send me an email. Send me an email at growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Put Germany in the subject line. When I see that, I will reach out and we will figure out if we're going to get you a shirt or a hoodie or if we're going to attempt to send some seeds to Germany. Danke, ein Freund. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps and hoes, friends and foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, skateboarders, and fruit booters. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to another episode of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. Once again, don't miss that fresh drop and restock on iredirect.com. It is happening now. Go get some turtles. Go get some of that Congo Ripper. Go grab the new tinfoil hat. That's right, tinfoil hat. What? Durban Poison crossed to Afterglow. It's about a 72-day flowering time. Big, tall plants with a crazy head buzz. I call it tinfoil hat because it'll have you talking about conspiracies and looking out the window. It's that kind of a buzz. Good shit. Get you some. iredirect.com. Make sure you check the website, the other website. If you need strain info, strain details, all of that stuff is kept on a separate website for logistics purposes. That website is iregenetics.com. So iregenetics.com's got all the details, all the info on all the strains. Also, there is a link to the Discord server. There's a link to the Patreon so you can support the podcast. There's a link to the Discord server. Everything is at iregenetics.com. I think that's all I've got for you for this episode. Before I leave, please do remember to click like and subscribe. And please leave some comments on this video. I do love seeing your opinions in the comment section. That's all I've got for you for this episode. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big old shout out to my buddy Green Ranger. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad mother.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece in and I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, Pokemon, we relax. Oh.